The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton from the SDR Show. It is a really cool episode this week. You may know him from Motley Crue. You may know him from Nikki Sixx's band 6AM. You may know him as a solo guitarist, or you may know him in his incredibly successful career as a space-designed artist in Ashbaland or Ashbaworld. It's DJ Ashba, just a super talented dude. Don Jameson from That Metal Show comes on as my co-host, and it's just a really good episode. What a fascinating guy. I remember we do the show every Wednesday, every Saturday. You could have heard this 5 days ago had you gone to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR. Get that 7-day free trial. Get that 20% off. See if you like the entire setup over there. And if not, just continue to watch on YouTube, listen on iTunes or on Google Play or Spotify or anywhere you listen or share the show. It's all we care about. Here it is right now, the DJ Ashba episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I'm beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art. You need to know.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again doing co-hosting duties. It is Don Jameson, That Jameson Show. How are you, buddy?
Cheers. How you doing, man? Good to be back.
You know what's funny, dude? Nowadays, like, you know, there's a couple of co-hosts that I bring on here and there. And certain times it's like a rock guest that I feel, even without asking you, you're probably going to know this dude. So let me put you guys on together because it'll be easier. And sometimes, so far, I've been right, I think, every time. Let's introduce the guy right now. I mean, the pedigree here goes back a long way. You might know him from 6AM. You might know him from his solo stuff. You might know him from Bullet Boys. You might know him from Guns N' Roses. You might know him from a plethora of other stuff. But it is DJ Ashba. How are you, buddy?
I sound like a whore, don't I?
Jesus. You do. By the way, you're not gonna remember me, but I'm gonna tell you the story anyway. Okay.
Familiar to me, though.
That's fine. I mean, we haven't seen each other in fucking years, but yeah. I will say I saw you perform when you were in the Bullet Boys. Not that you would remember this. I had a radio show called The Tour Bus, and you came in when you were in Beautiful Creatures with Joe Lestay and performed live in the studio. Then when you were in 6AM opening for Guns on the the tour was called Guns N' Roses, whatever the Crew Fest tour when 6AM was playing.
Oh, yeah.
Crew Fest, right? I saw you there. I was thrilled you guys invited me to the, not you personally, but when 6AM did the acoustic thing at the record label for like two albums ago, I was there. And then my favorite one, this is when I could not have looked cooler. I never would call anyone friends, but we would recognize each other at one point. We're going back a decade. And I was walking into a restaurant with a girl and you were outside because all of Guns was eating at some restaurant in Chinatown downstairs. Bumblefoot was there and everybody's there. Yeah. And I'm walking up and the girl's with me, goes, holy shit, like whispers in my ear, that's fucking DJ Ashba. And as we got close, you said, hey, what's up, Ralph? And it got me laid. That's what happened. It got me laid.
So amazing.
Yeah, and I was also, by the way, last one, I was at the fucking John Varvatos acoustic show that Guns did years ago. So all those things collectively, I obviously did not leave a lasting impression on you, and that's fine, you know. But
I recognize you.
well, welcome to the show, man. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Don, how do you two know each other? You said off air there's some sort of sexual chemistry between you two. Yes.
That's what it was. You know, the minute we met, there was this exciting sort of spark, and we met, I think, through GNR, right? Or
yeah. Yeah.
Trying to remember, but yeah. And we've hung out a bunch of times and had some Jaeger. And one of the great concerts ever was GNR playing at the House of Blues in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was at the one in the residency in Vegas. I went to that one when Guns did that for like a little minute. I don't know if you were in at that point or not, DJ, but yeah, I think you were. Yeah. I was there for the first week of shows.
We filmed the live DVD thing there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So let's start with, you know, when I look up somebody, the first thing I always do is let's just go to their Instagram. Oh, and shit. I see this fucking batshit crazy looking Ashbaland metaverse stuff. I am, even though I used to be pretty tech savvy, I'm off the rails. I don't know enough about the metaverse. It just makes me seem old. But explain what I was looking at. How about that?
I absolutely am just so deep into this. I'm a graphic designer by trade. You know, I've been on Photoshop since 1.0, since I was a kid.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just way into it. 10, probably even longer ago, 10, 15 years ago, I created a two-dimensional chat room and I designed all the rooms. It was called Ashbaland, the Haunted Mansion. And honestly, to this day, I feel like from back then is why I have such a hardcore fan base that follows me everywhere, because we connect in those chat rooms on a totally different level. Like everybody creates their avatars, but they're all like Atari looking back then. Well, fast forward, now the technology is so incredible. It's like, basically I'm building out, it feels like you're in my own personal video game. And I'm creating a full on world, a massive mansion. The new Ashbaland has come in, but it's just, it has a full concert stage with guitar, dance music. I mean, it's,
and it's, am I accessing it through Oculus or is it separate?
No, it's through a platform called IMVU. And so you can go on there and create your avatar, and it's insane how close you can get. Just, you know, it's so realistic.
It is wild. So I was a big video game advocate for years. I just got, you know, I'm older than you. I'm aged out of it a little bit, but I still, like, I got the Oculus when it first came out. I have always been a big part of all that. I remember Second Life and I remember all those other ones. The iteration had just gotten, now the technology has finally caught up with how we've wanted it to be looking all along.
Absolutely. Basically, Second Life was the metaverse. It's basically just a rebrand of Second Life, IMVU, all those platforms, because that is now what kids grew up in video games, you know, so that to them, but to us, that shit's been around for 10 years. But it hasn't developed like it has now. Now it's insane. So I'm launching a new clothing line called Ashba Apparel. And what's cool about my metaverse is I'm creating Digi Ashba Apparel. So you can, if you buy this hoodie, you know, we'll gift you or whatever, the same version into your closet, into your world. So when you're coming to the chat rooms, you can.
Oh, so do you like use a QR code when you buy it and then it'll show up in your online verse? That's cool.
Or if you don't want to buy the shit from the clothing, you can buy it for really, really super cheap and fill up your closet full of whatever cool swag we have.
But by the way, DJ and I had a band years ago called Oculus. I think that was
You'd make a great band name, metal.
Yeah, I thought we were going to make it, dude, but we never did. dude, you've always been one step ahead. I got to say, man, you know, I've known you a long time. You're the first guy I ever had his own water, you know, your own clothing line. And now with all this crazy technology, are you into like all this, the NFTs and the cryptocurrency and all that stuff?
Yeah, I've been heavily into it. My thing is I love technology and I don't want to have a conversation with somebody without diving headfirst in and figuring it out. I'm always so hands-on. So yeah, I got, you know, the Coinbase, I got the, you know, MetaMask wallet, you know, I got everything going. You know, I have an account on OpenSea and I wanted to learn how to mint an NFT and how to sell and create a collection. And so I've bought some NFTs. What I'm finding out is it's a bit pyramid scamish.
Yeah, I think, by the way, I think NFTs are a complete pyramid scheme, by the way. I really do. I don't like them anywhere near as much as I like cryptocurrency, especially the ones that are at least somewhat not shit coins, but, you know, somewhat, you know, the top four or five coins. But with you, the difference is you have been in the media verse of some sort since like MySpace days. Ashba Media took on a life of its own. It's crazy when you realize you're the guy, or at least your team is doing the physical graphics, not just them. They used to do like MySpace pages for people, but now you do the shit for Cirque du Soleil in Vegas. there's so much that you have your hands in that I don't think anyone has any fucking clue. They just know you as a guitarist.
Yeah, it's insane how the media company grew. Somebody told me a long time ago, and I believe it might have been Nikki Six, a long time ago when I was young. He basically, or whoever it was, I vaguely remember, but they basically said, never put yourself in a position, no matter how big your band gets or how big your project gets, always have plan B and a plan C, you know? And it's like, because no matter how big your band may get, it may be one of the lucky bands to really hit. Eventually, rock and roll is a roller coaster. You're never on top for very long. And if you happen to hit the top, you know, you're going to come down and you may come back up on your next record, but there's these huge.
I have to ask, what was Nikki Sixx's plan B and C? Do you know?
Heroin.
No, that was plan A until it didn't work anymore.
No, I'm kidding. He's actually a really incredible businessman. Marketing. He's great at marketing, and yeah, he's really a super smart dude that way. I learned a lot off of him too, but my thing is, you know, I always wanted to build something outside of music. I never talked about my media company. If you don't promote it.
Nowhere. Yeah, nowhere.
And this company, I mean, it's really turned into an empire here. And it's like, we just finished a huge job for Columbia and NASA. We built a replica landing lunar, which is insane. And now they're wanting to order more, which is cool. And we're really getting heavily into the space. I'm in meetings with Blue Origin about big projects coming
Jesus
up.
Jesus Christ, that's wild.
Yeah, but Bezos, I mean, it's gonna take you up, bro.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm ready.
But I would do it in a heartbeat. Oh my God! But you do all the Cirque du Soleil shows. You do Chris Angel's show, and I mean, I've done a ton of other stuff. Are you still doing the virtual side of it as well, or is it mostly physical now?
On the media, it's a little bit of both. Media is mainly 3D props and fabrications. We design wow moments for big corporations for social media moments. So it's really cool. Anything from, you know, 65 foot volcanoes for Lost Lands that shoot 30 foot flames out to 20 foot sculpted octopuses for Planet 13. Land lunars for NASA. Like
that's fucking crazy. And it's just wild because I'm sure you have to spend your day thinking, am I going to write a song today or am I building something for Blue Origin? That's just like a crazy fucking idea.
It's insane, the time management. That's why I have a great assistant, Mercedes. And like, it's my days, literally, I'm at the office every single morning. And a lot of times I'm here till pretty much 4 or 5 with my crew here with the media. But I have my studio at the media. So I do rehearsals, do a lot of stuff, a lot of meetings. But then when I get home, it's either studio or I am constantly designing. So if I'm out here, I design every piece of merch I've ever released since 2008. So anything with the ASHPA logo, whether it's a postcard, business card, we only have one graphic designer. And I do all
of them. I mean, that's fucking crazy. That's just so cool. Because also... The other aspect that people don't even realize, you've also co-written and produced a bunch of albums for other people as well, ranging from fucking Neil Diamond and Motley Crue. You even played guitars on the last Debbie Gibson record, which, I mean, it's crazy how to have your hand in so many different things.
Yeah.
You don't know where his hands have been.
I know. Believe me. You know, I'm not going to say who, by the way, but I use the term wiener cousins, but we are wiener cousins. We are, whatever you want to use that term. We both we've dipped in the same pool at one point in our lives. I know that for sure, but I'm not going to say who, because it's not politically correct. But the other one, I think, I don't know if you know her, but because you did co-produce Neil Diamond's album, and I knew his current wife, I haven't seen her in years, but I would get a kick out of it. Her name is Katie McNeil.
Yeah.
So her name is Katie McNeil Diamond, which is really funny because his name is in the name Neil Diamond. It's really funny.
So a funny story about Katie is fucking rewind 20 some years. I met her. She was doing TV shows for MTV, and she needed a host, and they were looking for, you know, kind of a rocker tattooed looking dude. I get a call, go down there and meet her. I am demoing up shit. This is way before 6 a.m., before anything. And so on our breaks of this show, it was called Rock in the House, and I was going to host the whole thing. It was a great concept. We shot the pilot. I would run down and play her my demos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, I don't, you know, and she fucking, the passion she had for what I was doing, I talked her into being my personal manager. And she goes, I'm not a manager. I go, yeah, but you believe in my music, and that's half of the battle, you mm-hmm. know? And then I talked her into getting a job at a big management company where we could have resources. And that's when she went to work for 10th Street. But Katie McNeil is solely, I got to credit her for almost everything in my music.
Wow, that's cool. I mean, I haven't seen her in probably, I don't know, 20 years, but she does.
Got me into the Motley camp, co-producing them and, mm-hmm. and writing songs for them. She then went on to Irving Azoff's and started managing Neil Diamond. That's why I worked with Neil.
That's cool.
And Guns N' Roses. She gave me the call when they were looking. She's just been amazing. And then lo and behold, they get married, which is bizarre.
It is wild. It's such a wild thing. To go back to the beginning, which I didn't know this about you either, but you started playing piano, then you started to go to drums, and then eventually guitar. Do you still play all of those things, or do you not anymore?
I do, but drums, it's all here now. I program all the drums on all my stuff and 6 a.m. and whatnot. But and me and James does a ton of it. I play piano, not near as much as I would like to, because I just time, you know, more than anything. Mm-hmm. I don't even play guitar as much as I want to, but you know, I wish there was more time in a day, but.
Well, let's not forget too, Ralph, this is very important, because besides metaverses and Oculuses and Schecter guitars and all the things that he does, you know, the guy's had a successful showbiz marriage for like the last 10 years, which is a feat unto itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Going on 9 years of marriage. And I think that's one of the best things that came out of great things came out of Guns N' Roses, but I am the most grateful for that. I met my wife on tour in Rome, and she thought I was a DJ, so I just went with it.
That's really funny.
Up the street tomorrow, come up and see us. So that's pretty cool.
All right, before we go any further, if you are over the age of 21 and you're looking for a way to possibly start weaning off of smoking, if you switch to vaping, you're going to be happier. I want to tell you about our newest sponsor that everyone here seems to love. It's called MePod, which is spelled MIPOD.com. MePod is just apparently the best possible pen out there, vaping device out there. Everybody in the studios at Gas Digital use it. And if you're a smoker or a vapor, you're going to love what they have over there. The VaporLax Vape, which has an adjustable airflow so you can control your hit. The MePod 2.0, which is their new state-of-the-art refillable device with a long-lasting battery and a design that optimizes flavors. Or, of course, the VaporLax Salt, which is available in 2.5% and 5% strengths. And Sirius Vape, which is a long-lasting, disposable, ready-to-go right out of the box vape pen with 15 available flavors. If you're still smoking, this is way better. If you like flavors, they got that too. If you've been using something else, well, these have a great draw. So head on over to mepod.com, MIPOD.com, and use the promo code SDR to get 20% off. Once again, MIPOD.com, get 20% off at mepod.com. All right, let's get back into it. All right, so now let me see if I want to, of course, talk about some of the old school stuff as well, but I want to get into what you're doing right now.
Sure.
And I often have to say this all the time now, because I do as much research as I can, but I'm not infallible. I make a lot of stupid mistakes, so I apologize if I do. But, you know, your former bandmate from 6 a.m., not Nikki Sixx, but James Michaels, fucking super cool, crazy talented guy. I think there's 7 6 a.m. records or something like that. I could be off on the number. But you guys were going to work on a project together called Pyromatic.
And Pyromantic,
Pyromantic. And then at some point that dissipated, or he stepped out, and then it kind of morphed into where you are now. Is that right so far?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. Okay. And, except he's not a former member. We're still 6 a.m. We're still a band.
Yeah, I know. 6 a.m. still, I know, but that's not what I mean. But I mean, this project
was originally
together. He's on a track as well, but this became a solo ASHBA project, correct?
Absolutely. I had a vision. I was going to a lot of electronic dance music concerts and festivals, EDC. I've always been into tech, you know, forward thinking and thinking outside the box. I've never been the guy that I've never liked when people put walls around genres of music. Mm-hmm. I feel a great song is a great song. I don't care if it's country, if it's so. When I was going to these concerts, I remember calling Nikki and James going, guys, you know, all due respect, we're playing for all these kids' parents. Like, this is where all the kids are at these EDM concerts. Yeah. I go, this is what I want to inject what I do as a producer songwriter in. And I couldn't understand why there was very little guitar in this world. And I was like, that's when the idea hit. Like, if I could inject what I do and inspire one kid to pick up an instrument, then it's worth it. Because let's face it, I've been in arguably one of the biggest bands in the world. I left that band.
Bullet Boys.
Exactly. I'll never start, nor do I have the energy or, you know, to start a bigger band in this lifetime.
I mean, good luck on anybody doing that. Yeah.
So that being said, I kind of, you know, I'm satisfied in that. So what can I do as a producer songwriter that's really going to push me musically outside of my comfort zone? So I came up with this idea that what if I took mainstream EDM like a Steve Aoki, Calvin Harris sound with a mainstream rock, modern rock, like a Van Halen or guitar solos and put them in a blender? What would that sound like? And it took about 4.5 years. And I found out real quick that the guitars sit in the same frequency as the keyboards. So I had to approach the way I play guitar completely different and work with the keyboards instead of against them. Mm-hmm. And what came out was a really unique sound that nobody at the Universal could describe. And we ended up, I walked in one day and I said, guys, I got it. It's called guitar dance music. And everybody's like, that's it.
GDM instead of EDM, right? Yeah, which is interesting. It's a catchy title.
But it describes the sound perfectly in three words. So, and I went out and trademarked that, and I'm going to brand that.
Yeah, why not? So I have a couple of thoughts on it. I want to get your opinion. So like when I was a kid and there was a, you know, when 80s rock ruled, right? So there was a time where it was very common to remix rock songs as dance songs. Def Leppard had it. I have Love and Use a Dirty Job by Rats dance mix. You know, Living Color did it. It was a thing for a while where 80s rock songs would go on dance floors. Somehow that completely stopped, right? Yeah. I don't know. At some point, it became, you had to pick a camp. Either you were inside rock dude or you were going to the dance clubs. You couldn't do both for some reason. And I have no fucking idea why that happened.
And that's what always has bothered me about the rock scene is it's like, it's more of the mentality of my band's better than yours. And the fans, if God forbid you lose an original member, the band's not the same. They're so quick to just, you know, where... Right. And if you think about what are some of the biggest moments in rock, Run DMC and Aerosmith, you know, it's like when two different genres came together, but for some reason that didn't click. I mean, we're the only genre that collaborates very, very little.
Right.
Every genre that's thriving is the one thing they're doing different than us is they're collaborating with everybody, country, rap, EDM. Yeah,
they game the playlist. That's like a big thing too. You know, they work on remixes.
It's all about
like,
cross-moting, fan bases, cross-promotion and stuff like that, where I just don't think, rock and roll just isn't.
The one that comes to mind, do you remember the Judgment Day soundtrack with like Manson and Crystal Method? And that was a great soundtrack. Yeah.
I mean, remember the Superman, I can't remember, I think it was a Superman theme song with the Sliva dude and the Nickelback dude, how huge that song was.
Spider-Man, not Superman, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, but that's just an example of when two, and every time that happens, it seems to fucking work.
Yeah, like rappers always will bring guest rappers on albums, you know, or they'll get, they'll hire remixers to do it. Rock has always been much more of a closed system.
So if you go back and look at my career, not many people know this, but I was the original guitar player for Nocturnal, who is just this hardcore rap dude. He was Dr. Dre's prodigy guy, and we played some late night TV shows. I've always I've never looked at myself as a rock guitarist. I love melody. I'm a sucker for a great melody, whether it's on a piano or a guitar or a vocal. And I've always loved collaborating, from Neil Diamond to Motley Crue to Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson. It's great. Yeah, it's crazy. And I don't understand personally. And it's funny, we just interviewed someone not that long ago that I'm sure you know, especially through Nikki, Kat Von D, we had on the show recently, right? And she put out an album, right? And so she's getting pushback, which we mentioned this, Don, I'm sure you know, like Godfrey had a little thing with T.I. because T.I. wanted to be a comic. And it's like, stay out of the comedy world, you're a rapper. But in the same respect, like people look at rock bands like, how dare you put out an album that isn't exactly what we expect from a rock guy. I have to imagine, even though I've heard some of the songs, right, I really want to get into the Italian Bella Ciao, I guess if I'm pronouncing it right. Are you getting pushback from your fan base that is the, I mean, because you have a fan base that spawns other stuff, but from your people that know you from 6 a.m. from Guns N' Roses, are they saying like, what the fuck is this dance music, dude? Because that's the unfortunate archaic view of a lot of rock people.
Yeah, I knew I was going to take a lot of bullets. And at this point in my career, I just don't give a fuck, to be honest. It's like, I feel like I've been in the game a long time. And what I'm thankful for is I went into Universal and said, everything I've done and accomplished, throw it out the window. I am starting over in a new genre that nobody knows me. I'm an unknown artist and I'm starting from fan one, because I was just ready to literally, not wanting to, but ready mentally to lose my entire rock fan base, because I knew I was doing something groundbreaking and like something so out of the box from what they know from me. So to me, I'm just growing as an artist. I'm evolving. I'm inspired, you know, and I'm just following my heart. But, you know, surprisingly, I was shocked that my fan base was so accepting of what I'm doing. And I've gotten very little pushback on it, which I'm even shocked about.
That's great. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So
I was just going to throw out there also, you know, because EDM is so big in the clubs in Vegas. Has you living there, has that been part of the influence on you doing it? Is that you're in the middle of that scene?
It's right in my backyard, and I've lived here for 12 years, and it's been, I'm just like a sponge. So yeah, it's been a huge reason why it's in the blood now, you know? And I absolutely love it. But at the same time, what everybody needs to realize, I'm a producer songwriter. I'm a guitarist. I'm not trying to be a DJ. I'm not up there.
Well, you are. If it's a girl that you end up marrying, you're going to lie about it. That we understand.
Yeah,
you
know? If it gets me laid, I'm going to be. but my thing is, I'm staying true to my craft. You know, if you listen to any of my new stuff, you can tell that's a guitarist from 6 a.m. There's no question. I have my own sound, my own style, you know, so that's all I care about, is I'm staying true to my vision. Whether I'm playing guitar on a rap song, a Debbie Gibson song, a movie score, I sound like me. And I think that's the most important thing, is I'm staying true to who I am as a guitarist and as a musician. And my main goal for crossing into a new genre with very little performance or live guitar is to bring our culture into that world for these young kids that just aren't getting it.
Let me ask you a question on that. So as one that hasn't been to many clubs that do EDM, because I'm an old man, right? But I've been back in the day, I've been to Ibiza in, like, you know, the epicenter of those parties 10, 15 years ago. And you're right, it's a guy pushing play. Like, I remember when I was there, the set was delayed because the dude lost his thumb drive.
Yeah.
You know, and they had to find it. So, which I found funny. But so now when you are bringing guitar to this, are you doing it with a DJ and you're on the side playing guitar? Is that what's happening?
Exactly. I'm playing live to the music that I produced and created, mixed, mastered, everything. And then he is throwing in all the effects and doing his trip. But I am 100% live.
And the singer is going to be live too?
Yeah, well, we aren't playing with any singer unless we bring up guest singers.
Yeah, because like James Michaels is on a song and that girl from The Voice, Kelly Tucker, is on a song. So on those, in theory, if they're around, they'd come up and join you.
Absolutely. So I always thought DJs, like everybody else in the rock, you know, I was real close-minded because like that they just push play. And once I dove into this world, it's like, I think it was Calvin Harris. He was like, you know, somebody told me a story. So if I'm wrong on this, don't execute me on it. But what I heard is somebody went up, said, you get paid millions of dollars to plug in a thumb drive. He goes, they aren't paying me to plug in the thumb drive. They're paying me for the years and years that
I'm not, by the way, I'm not downplaying it at all. I know. But I understand that, you know, but
when I learned that, I was like, fuck, he's right. Because to create this music, it is harder than any rock song, any Neil Diamond song. It is really difficult to create this style of music. And it's so tedious and it's time consuming. And it's really, really, you know, been fun for me.
But I will say also, though, that concept holds true in almost any format. Like one of my friends is a very successful, he places people. He's a headhunter, whatever you call that, like, finds people jobs, right? And his wife got mad and he only works with high-end like tech jobs, like people making crazy money. And she got mad because you complained, you know, she said, why can't you do something? It takes you 5 minutes to place somebody and make all that money. He goes, now it took me 20 years to get to that place. And exactly. I think that happens with a lot of people. They forget how many years people put in to get to where they are.
Exactly. You know, and with this, it is like a melting pot of our world and their world. It's me playing live. It's letting the DJ do his trip. But it's really difficult when I came down. I mean, I am programming and basically I'm fronting this whole thing now as a guitarist, which has been really different for me, too. It's a
of course.
And DJ played live at a sporting event fairly recently, right?
Yeah. I opened up the MMA award show. They had me there, and then I just played Allegiant Stadium. And that's another cool thing with doing this style of music. It's just me and a DJ, and I have dancers and stuff, but it allows me to play just such different things. You know, it's just random, like, wow, you know, like,
well, that's my question. Sorry, but I want to ask, are you going to play concert venues? Are you going to play dance clubs and things like where do you see it happening?
Yeah, so right now we are in doing the contracts right now, but we are in talks with doing a residency here in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to start there. We're going to blow it out everywhere, and we're going to blow this music GDM from Vegas out instead of bringing EDM from Ibiza in. We're going to blow this new sound out.
I mean, it's too bad you don't know anyone that could build like the stage show for you guys.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to build out a night that people won't forget. But what I don't want to just put on a concert. I want to create a night, like an experience where you've got to see the show. It's like nothing you've ever seen. So that's what we're working on right now.
Yeah. And hey, DJ, you mentioned about, you know, the 6 a.m. obviously still a unit. You know, there was a greatest hits last year, I know. So you haven't completely abandoned rock either.
Not at all. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, that was one of the bigger reasons. Like, why would I start another rock band and do that? Yeah, I have a rock band. If you want to see me play rock, come to a 6 a.m. concert.
Right.
You know? Because that's my rock band, and you know, I'm too old to start a new one. So
and by the way, James has one of the best voices in rock and roll. Just such a fucking good dude. It's crazy.
He's the most underrated singer in rock, I think.
Yeah, and didn't you also like write a lot of the Saints of Los Angeles as well with Motley, right? Weren't you involved with that?
I co-wrote 11 of the 13 songs and co-produced it. Yeah,
that's nuts, man. You get around, sir.
Yeah.
All right, before we go any further, you know how much we love YoKratom, YoKratom.com. All you need to know is they are the home of the $60 kilo. While prices are going up all over the country, maybe your rent, maybe you see about gas prices, meat prices, everywhere, anything you read every day, prices are going up. Not at YoKratom.com, where you can get high-quality curated kratom direct to you and a bunch of cool, unique strains, great blends. They got it all there. You know that Shannon loves the train wreck. If you're a fan of Kratom, there's nowhere else to go but YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, and they have not changed that since day one. It also feels really cool to buy things in kilos, as Big J always likes to say. It's YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. What else do you need to know? Support the sponsors that support this show. I skip back into it. And now, So how did you pick this? From what I understand, it's like a classic Italian folk song.
Right.
Called Bella Ciao. Am I saying that right? I don't know if I am. My Italian's not very strong. How did this idea take shape? Like, why this song?
A couple different reasons. My wife, I met her in Rome. Her family's from Italy, or her mom lives in Italy. She's actually Colombian, but she lived her whole life there. So I spent a lot of time over there. But she got me sucked into this TV show called Money Heist. And that's their theme song before they go rob the banks, and they sing the song. And I remember that song from when I was a kid, you know, and I absolutely love it. My family's European, and it's just one of those songs that I knew I could convert into just a dope fucking banger for the kids at a festival. And I just heard the guitar immediately, just, you know, and I literally ran into the studio. I was so inspired to start it. And it turned out really cool, and it did really well. It's doing well. So
I love that the rock fans have been embracing you, man, because, you know, I think sometimes we get marginalized, like we can't handle other things. But Ralph, you were right before when you said, you know, rockers don't collaborate enough. But then when they do, they really do end up getting the support from the fans. Because, and then the other thing is that, like I said, it's not like you have abandoned rock. Like when Metallica did that album with Lou Reed. Okay. Yeah. It wasn't my thing, but I wasn't mad at Metallica for,
what about Korn and Skrillex? Remember Korn and Skrillex too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But so it's like, I can listen to Master Puppets every day of the week, but they wanted to do something different. I don't mind them stretching that muscle. I knew they weren't going to take Lou Reed out on tour with them and do the whole thing. They wanted to do something different, and whether it worked or didn't work, I just applaud artists who do stuff like that. So, you know, I'm real proud of DJ, man. You went real outside the box and it worked.
Remember when the Pantera boys did that thing with David Allan Coe? That was cool also. Like, the weird thing is that rock barely collaborates within genre. Forget about outside of genre. Right. You know, they barely do it in the genre itself. It's a weird thing.
In my honest opinion, everybody's like, rock's dead, rock's dead. Rock isn't dead at all. But I think it would be thriving way harder right now if we would all just kind of open our minds and be willing to collaborate with different genres, bring in Metallica doing a song with Dolly Parton, like how fucking random and cool.
It would be awesome. But I disagree with you a little bit. I don't think rock is ever going to be where it was in that, you know, where it's top 10 of the top 50 billboards, or the billboards aren't even a thing anymore, but you know what I mean? But I think, you know, it had a great run. Rock was the genre for 35, 40 years. Yeah. Now it's, you know, there are people who are fronting swing bands that are like, maybe our comeback is coming soon. They thought that was never going to go away, or big band music. They all have a run. EDM's been the one in the foreground for the last decade, EDM and rap.
Everything always comes back in cycles. Rock will never, it's just not going to come back as the rock we grew up on.
Right, of course.
It could sound like GDM. That could be I'm not saying it is, but it could be some form or mash of different influences, and it might sound a little different to us, but it's what the new.
The thing that would be amazing is if somebody hears a GDM song and that is the thing that inspires them to pick up a guitar, because who the fuck is inspiring people to pick up an instrument these days?
And that's all, that has been my number one biggest driver. I mean, I dedicated, when I saw Eddie Van Halen play guitar, I dedicated my entire life to a guitar. And it's been such a great ride. And if I can give one kid that inspiration to go pick up that guitar or a piano or whatever it is, then fuck, man, what cooler thing could I ever accomplish in life than that?
You know? That's awesome. That's really cool. You said, by the way, that you you did the MMA thing, and you're a big MMA fan. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Michael Bisping, who was the former middleweight champion of UFC, is on this network too. He has a show on this network. It's one of the power shows. Really cool. I watched, you know, him fight a couple of times. He's just one of the coolest dudes in the planet. I get a big kick out of him. He makes me feel very wimpy.
DJ is one of the best MMA fighters out there. A lot of people don't know that, but I've been training him for the last 10 years.
Yes. And by the way, I heard this, that DJ encourages people, when you find him somewhere, challenge him to a fight. He's a big fan of them.
Absolutely. I went through a period, like a weird 10-year period, where I was just getting in random bar fights a lot. I don't know why.
What?
Jägermeister?
And what years are we talking here? Are we talking about 6 a.m. years or Bullet Boy years? Or when was that happening?
I don't know. It was just a weird, maybe not 10 years, but a couple, like 3-4 years where, I don't know. It was just a rant. It was during Guns N' Roses and 6 a.m. And it was just, I think, you know, I was in the spotlight pretty heavy. And I think people just wanted to fuck with me, I guess.
It is weird because you were the new guy in Guns, right? Yeah. Did you ever at any point feel finally embraced, like that you weren't looked at as the new guy? Like, was there ever a point in Guns where you felt, all right, I get on stage and now I'm accepted?
I did. The fans are the most hardcore fan base that I've ever, you know, played in front of. But, you know, and you got to prove yourself, you know. But to this day, you know, those I still have so many of those fans that are following me to this day. They're just diehard, and it's incredible. And I'm so thankful that I went through almost 7 years of that, and I met a lot of great people along the way, and it's been great. You know,
you'll see that when you tag DJ for this webcast, you'll see. A GNR Chile will retreat. Yeah. A GNR Tokyo will retreat. Yeah. A GNR Kansas City. Well, I mean, they are so rabid, such rabid fans, man. So any mention of somebody who is in currently or was in the band, it's Guns, this huge explosion still.
Guns N' Roses is absolutely a family. It really is. I mean, Axl, if he brought you into that circle, that fan base, it's incredible. It's like you said, the fans will sit out when we go to Brazil, you know, they'll sit outside the hotel for a week and not leave. I don't know where they're eating or what they're doing, but I've never seen anything like it. And I've noticed, you know, now that I'm no longer in it, they still treat me like family. It's a really cool.
And I think, by the way, I think Chinese Democracy is such an underrated record. It is such a good fucking record. I listen to If the World still all the time. I love that song so much. Do you think that your rabid fan base comes from your guitar playing or because you're just so damn good looking?
Talking to me, Ralph?
Definitely not, Don. Definitely not.
Oh, man. I hope it's not my looks, because I'm getting old.
Yeah, we all are getting old, but I think I'm about, I think you're almost 50. Am I right? I think pretty. It's amazing. So when you're going out doing EDM or GDM shows, excuse me, the fan base is probably a third of your age. That's pretty wild. Does that got to feel kind of strange?
You know what's so cool? It's not even so much that. It's like, I played one show so far in Green Bay, and it was a rock club called Epic Center. Amazing venue. It was the coolest thing for me because, you know, the whole pushback, I'm doing something going to take a lot of heat bullets and like, fuck, you know, and I have no template, nobody to follow. What should this sound like? It was a lot of, but I saw the rock fans show up, you know, driving for fucking 12 hours to get to the show in the snow. They're all leaned up against the front gate waiting for, you know, at the front barricade. And then I saw all these young kids sitting in circles out on the dance floor. Wow. And I was like, that right there is two fucking genres coming together. Because at EDM festivals, all the kids sit before the show.
That's really funny.
Completely different. But when the show started, it was like magic. They all were there because a good song is a good song.
And you said you went through like 4 years of figuring out what GDM would sound like, right? Yeah. Did you have some early iterations that you're like, oh God, this is awful?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, a lot of trial and error. It took 4.5 years. I mean, I've wanted to throw my laptop and computers in the pool many, many times. And I've been, should say I've had my nights and moments where I second guess myself numerous times, but in my heart, at the end of the day, I followed that vision, and I never let myself detour from it. But a lot of stuff, like, nobody's going to fucking get this. My fans are going to hate me for doing this. A lot went through my head, but you know what? It's like, if you don't take a chance and you know, if you're not growing, then you're dying.
And right. So, yeah, and also, if God, I've said this so many times on the show recently, but like, God forbid a creative person wants to expand their creativity. Like, why are you so fucking angry about any of that? Like, why should you ever stifle somebody from following a passion? It makes no sense to me.
Right. And it feels so good that you guys, you know, fucking are supporting it. And my thing is like I was on Eddie's show not too long ago. He flat out said, it's not my cup of tea. And I respect that. I'm cool with that. Like, everybody should have their own opinion. But
yeah,
the fact that he's not alienating me because I'm trying to do something different, and he has respect that I am doing something different, just like you, that means more to me than anything.
It's for me, I look at it as an old single man. This is a gateway for me to attract younger ladies, is I can get it behind this. And it's got my good guitarist in it. It like works, makes everybody happy as far as I'm concerned.
He got you laid once already. How many times are you going to go to the well, Ralph?
I'll keep going in. All right, before we go any further, these guys have been with us for a while. They are Zippix Toothpicks. And you head to ZippixToothpicks.com. They are a healthier alternative to smoking. If part of your New Year's resolution, even though we just passed the end of quarter one here, is to quit nasty cigarettes, maybe it's time to try Zippix. Zippix Toothpicks has supported thousands of people trying to kick that smoking and vaping habit with their sublingual absorption that gets you that nicotine buzz quicker, and they come in six awesome flavors. And the best part, you can use Zippix anywhere. Where you're not allowed to vape somewhere, you're not allowed to smoke somewhere, no more hiding that smoke underneath your breath hoping no one notices, there's no smell, there's no smoke, there's no hiding cigarette butts, and most important, costs less than cigarettes. Head on over to ZippixToothpicks.com, that's Zippix, toothpicks with an S, .com, ZippixToothpicks.com, to start your healthier alternative to smoking today. All right, let's get back into it. By the way, just a couple other things that we don't have too much time with you, but I loved that fucking Beautiful Creatures record. Do you still talk to Joel Estay? Are you still friends with him?
I do. We don't talk a lot, but it's like old times when we do run into each other.
I love that. You guys came in studio, performed live, but talking like, 1999 or 2000 or something, so long ago. And I think the first time, and I could be wrong on this, that you two worked together, there was like a fucking, like a Ted Nugent, like tribute record or something. Is that where you two first?
Yeah. Back when I was broke off my ass, I was doing a lot of tribute records. I think I did a Scorpions one and a
Bond. That was a big thing for a while.
Yeah. And because they would pay you decent when you had no money in LA. It's like, hey, we'll give you a couple thousand. Back then it's like, fuck, couple thousand, hell, and I think I'd done a Bon Jovi one and Scorpions one and Ted Nugent and maybe a couple others. But and then I started designing the album covers for the ones I was doing. I was always into the
art. So fucking great. And also, when you were brought on for 6 a.m originally, you were the producer, or were you always going to be, it was always going to be a band? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, in the very beginning with 6 a.m what happened is I was about ready to sign a deal with Atlantic with a band called Operator, with Danny Wimmer was managing it. And Nikki calls me out of the blue, and I don't really know Nikki. I met him at Randy Casilla's funeral because me and Randy had done one of those tribute records together. And he calls me out of the blue. I was at a car wash. I remember, he goes, hey man, what are you doing? I was like, I'm heading down to rehearsal. Do you mind if I stop by and watch the rehearsal? I was like, fuck with Nikki 6-1. And he did, and watched the whole rehearsal. Afterwards, he took me out to his car. He said, hey man, I want to invite you up to my house. And I went up there and we wrote 4 songs with just a guitar and a piano right there. And I was like, fuck, there's some huge chemistry here. This is insane. And he basically said, listen, wanted me to partner up with him at Funny Farm Studios. And what the plan was is we were going to be songwriting partners and producing partners and write and produce you know, we did Drowning Pool together. We had a couple different Marion Raven, couple things. And through that process, I was out there at Funny Farm. It's just me and him every day. And then he went on tour and he'd come back and I'd still be there working on songs, demoing. Anyway, long story short, he brought in these diaries and he painted kind of a picture because I was really into movie scoring and he wanted me to kind of create something. And that's when I think I came up with Xmas in Hell, like the beginning song of that. And I created all the music and then he came in and done a narration over it. We were like, fuck, that's cool. We created all these songs and we were working with James Michael. Well, James would always hire me to come in and play on people's records. Never knew the guy was a singer, never heard him sing. Wow. And we originally set out to basically do a soundtrack to his book. And there was no talk of band, none of that. So we scored basically this book, brought to life musically. And when it came time to singing, I remember we were on the phone with Chester from Linkin Park. We call, I think, Steven Tyler. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of different singers we were going to have on each different song. And that was going to be the thing. James was like, hey, man, do you mind if I take a crack at one of these? He sent it back. And me and Nikki, I remember us playing, our mouse hit the fucking table. And we're like, not only are you singing on this one, you're singing on the entire. And so it was that we were blown away. And we released this thing. And I remember coming up with the name 6 a.m. because Alan needed some type of name to put on it. And it's just 6 a.m. was 6 Ashba Michael.
Right.
Man. But it was also the time of day where it sucks either way, going to bed or getting up. So it was one of those things where we released a song. The song went, I think, number one right off the fucking bat. It was the most played song of that year, called Life is Beautiful. And I remember Alan called us up, said, you guys are now a band. And we're like, no, we're not. We're just fucking buddies producing fun song. And that's why we never had a drummer, our entire thing, because we never went from the mentality of we're just getting together as friends to create cool music. So.
That's pretty wild.
Hey, Ralph, they did the, I want to throw this in there because the last time I saw 6 a.m., they did one of the coolest things, which was after they got done, this was at Starland Ballroom in Jersey.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you guys went out to the parking lot where everybody was hanging after the show by the tour bus, and him and Nikki and James went out there and they played an acoustic show basically outside after the concert was over. And I think you were doing that whole tour, right? The parking lot shows.
We did it the whole tour and we loved it. We couldn't wait to get off stage to go, because that felt more like the way we write songs together. We just sit in a room, it's real personal, and we just go out in these dark alleys and fucking bring out pizzas and shit and the fans.
Yep.
Was that on the Prayer for the Damned one? Or was that, because that was the one where I saw you guys at that record thing and you just did about five sets. There was no mics. Nothing was, there was nothing. You're just the three, you sat out there and I think you were all standing. You just did five songs. It was crazy.
We were all standing up playing, no mics. It was just raw as it gets. And that was some of the best memories I have of being on tour with 6 a.m.
That's really cool.
And that's what endears people to him, you know, doing stuff like that with the
fans. And his dreamy looks, Don. All right. Then lastly, before we go to the first, you're doing, I mean, by this time it airs, this will have happened already, but are you doing a 24-hour stream tomorrow? Is that right?
No, I'm personally not. I'm part of one.
Oh, okay. I was that's fucking batshit crazy if you're doing that.
No. I don't do coke anymore.
And also, by the way, and I know it was a little while ago, but I couldn't agree with you more that Buckethead took the coolness out of Guns N' Roses. I never really felt that vibe with that look.
The media, they twist every headline. I didn't mean that in any bad way. I mean, Buckethead could play circles around.
He's a phenomenal guitarist. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that the look didn't go with Guns N' Roses. That's all I'm saying.
And that's all I was saying. No discrediting him at all. I just, the fan, that just didn't, that wasn't rock and roll, the rock and roll, reckless rock and roll band that we all grew up on. So, you know, to me, it's like, I just didn't feel like he personally fit. And that was just my opinion.
But by the way, it's kind of ironic where a band is doing something a little different and then you have a problem with it when that's exactly what you're doing right now.
Right. I know. That's the mentality that we fucking...
I just felt I had to call it out. All right. We got to do the first. We got to do the first right now.
The first time. did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked everybody this since we've started this show, it is your first experience with all three, starting with rock and roll. And I think I know it, but I'm not sure. The first concert you ever went to?
The first what?
Concert you ever went to?
Oh, yeah, it was Girls, 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 Motley Crue, Whitesnake opened up, and it's the night in Indianapolis that they shot Wild Side video.
I mean, what a fucking full circle life that you end up then working with that dude. That's crazy.
It was my 16th birthday party, and I was just straight off the farm. I never been to a concert because I'm from a super religious family, so I grew up without any TV. So to be at something like that was really just blew my mind. But I'll tell you, that was the night, because I would sneak to my friends, watch them on MTV. So you see them in magazines when you're in school, you know. Right. So without the internet, it was almost like a fairy tale. Like they don't exist in real life. And that night when I walked in and they were right there, I was like, holy fuck, this is not a dream. This is real. If they can do this, I can do this. Like, they're right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I really saw them more as people. Like, that dream I had in my head that wasn't reachable was reachable. It was the weirdest thing.
That's really wild. I mean, it's funny because that larger than life feeling of a kid looking through magazines or having posters on, that will never exist again because of social media and the internet. Like, I know a lot of my favorite rock stars had for lunch yesterday because of Twitter. You know, it's a wild thing.
I remember staring in Metal Edge magazine, Hit Parader, and just staring at like all these old cool studio photos of Eddie Van Halen and all the wires. And, you know, I wish I could do this at those times and zoom in and shit. But
and see what his rig was, right? That would have been great.
The mystery of it all is what made it so cool.
Yeah, and that's what's gone, which is good. So now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Weed, I've never been a big weed dude, but weed probably was.
So the one after?
Coke, yeah.
And how old were you?
Fuck, man. I was, before I moved to LA, probably 17, 18.
Okay, so you moved to Hollywood at 18, I think, right?
I moved to Hollywood when I was still 20.
Okay.
Because in my brain, I was like, I got to be able to play to make money. And so I timed it right that I would be turned 21 right as soon as I'd hit LA.
Oh, that's funny. That's cool.
I'm still thinking about you saying you wanted to see a close-up of Eddie Van Halen's rig. That's still in my head for some reason. Kind of distracted.
Yeah, I'm sure he had a really nice rig, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've heard.
My 21 goal, by the way, was to sleep with 21 women by the time I turned 21, and I missed it by 2 weeks.
Nice.
Is that classy? Right, now, the first time you had sex.
This is the part that's embarrassing, because I dated the same girl from sixth grade till I moved away. I mean, talk about fucking loser. She was a cheerleader, though.
But wait, but I mean, you didn't have sex with her in sixth grade. So when did you actually have sex with her?
Not until I was 17.
Oh, 17's the average here, by the way. Yeah.
I thought that was like late.
No, 17's the average, but we have a couple that were crazy young and a couple that were older than you'd think. Like someone was like 21 or something. But we have a few that were, I always forget, Shannon, was it someone from Godsmack? Who was it that somebody was like crazy young? Like
Shannon Larkin,
he was like eight.
And it was oral sex from his friend's sister who was babysitting him.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, and that was pretty fucking crazy. I mean, that's nine, nice. Or eight rather, 8 years old. I like that he said nice. You're an equal creep.
Nice, not in a good way, nice. Nice.
All right. So now, obviously, at Ashba is your Instagrams, ashba.us. The album, the GDM album, I'm going to try and get myself used to saying that, is out now. You could go find you on Spotify and anywhere, find it there. Ashba Media doesn't need any press from us either, because Jesus Christ, it couldn't be any more busy. Is there anything else we didn't plug during this interview?
You've done incredible. You've taught me more about, I forgot half the shit I've done. So.
Oh, well, that's my job. Don, you want to do your plugs?
That Jameson Show on Compound Media, and also on the YouTube, interviewing rockers every week. DJ, I'm going to have to hit you up. I'll be out your way in May, so let's hang out and have a Jaeger together. And Ralph and Shannon, thank you for having me again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Shannon, you want to do your plugs?
Sure. Oh my God, my lighting's so bad at this moment. No one look at me. You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Thank you, Don. And listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting people come on, comedians, musicians, porn stars, reality TV stars. They come on and they tell their stories about their worst date, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience that freaked them out that could possibly be paranormal.
And now don't give us an indication, DJ, but I try to guess. And Don, you have to guess also. Don't indicate this. Does DJ Ashba believe in ghosts? I'm going to say yes. Don, what do you think? Yes, Shannon?
Yes.
And DJ, do you believe in ghosts?
100%.
All right, we knew it. I nailed it. Nailed it. Okay, and now I'm going to play the song I like the most, and maybe just because I love James Michael's voice so fucking much, right? Yeah. And we're going to add it to our playlist, the scrshow.com/playlist. It's called Let's Dance. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton and my other podcast that comes out every Monday on health and wellness. Currently in the top 200 of all health podcasts on iTunes. It's called Good Sugar, the Good Sugar Podcast. And our first location, the Good Sugar Store, is opening at 3rd Avenue and 69th Street in May. It's all good, healthy food for you and your soul. So thank you very much, DJ. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Shannon. And we'll see you next time on the STR Show.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to the STR Show.